Today's scripture is Colossians chapter 3, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 17. The name of the message is All in the Name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired, inerrant word, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Lord, we know it's powerful and effective, and it never returns void, accomplishing the purpose for which you have sent it out. Lord, let us take this word to heart this day as we wrestle with it. We pray God the Holy Spirit would prepare our hearts and minds to receive it and respond appropriately. Do not let this preacher get in the way, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, the title, All in the Name of the Lord Jesus. Well, in my Bible, this chapter has the title over it, Rules for Holy Living. And we tend to think about rules as restrictive, and in one sense, they certainly are. On the surface, when rules are connected with holy living, we have an even stronger sense of them being limiting. Another way to look at rules is to see them as setting boundaries. Living within these boundaries creates safety. Living within these boundaries allows for freedom. And as an illustration, a loose illustration, but fairly informative. Carol and I, we have a fenced backyard. And our dog, Zacchaeus, has free range within that fenced yard. It keeps him from being run over by a car. It keeps unwanted things out of the yard. He is free to run, chase squirrels, although he never catches them, collect sticks and rocks, there's a pile by our back door, and lay in the sun and dirt. We do see some of these features in today's text, but there is so much more. Look at these instructions expansively. They are not so much about what you are not to do, but rather they are about the life we are called to live into, to be whom we are called to be, to maximize the life Jesus has made possible for us. We need to embrace these rules for holy living. For example, each of the last three verses deal with gratitude. Be thankful, sing with gratitude in your hearts to God, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. When we look at the world through eyes of gratitude, then our perception of who God is, who we are, and our dependence on our Heavenly Father properly crystallizes. A grateful heart recognizes the greatness of God and our humble place in His world, not our world. Now, this week, I had a moment of self-revelation in a seemingly innocuous situation. I was getting my breakfast ready and realized there wasn't enough shredded wheat in the Tupperware container. And we have a large pantry-style cabinet. And when I looked inside, I could see the new box of shredded wheat was about halfway back. So I took a couple of things out so I could reach it. But it was a tall box. And the only way I could remove it is by tilting it, but there was too many things in the way still. So I started removing other containers and other boxes. And I was starting to get annoyed, I realized, because I was banging them on the counter, right? And then it occurred to me, it hit me, I was getting annoyed because we had so much food in the pantry. It was inconvenient to take a minute to move things around. So I repented on the spot of my ingratitude and thanked God for His bounty. You ever do anything like that? Having an attitude of gratitude should be one of the easiest guidelines for most Americans. We have so much, and yet we lose sight of how blessed we truly are. We get used to our abundance. We take it for granted. Somehow we come to think we are entitled to our blessings. Now, one barometer of our gratitude is our church giving. According to health research funding, the average weekly giving amount per churchgoer in the U.S. is $17 per week. Now, let us look at the beginning of the scripture. We are told to set our hearts and our minds on things above. Our motivations for living are to be based on the throne room of God, not on earthly things. Why? Because we have died to the things of this world. Because we have been raised with Christ. Because we are secured with Christ. Our salvation is secure. We are assured of this. In fact, Christ is our life. That is a radical reorientation. Not only that, but we are reminded that Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes again, we will be glorified with Him. Do these seem like empty words to you? Do they seem too good to be true? If you believe them, can't you see how your outlook on this life will be completely reframed? We are called to live our lives on a higher plane. And I'm going to share a hymn with you called Higher Ground by Johnson Oatman and Charles Gabriel that promotes this outlook. And Shirley's always happy when I contact her on Friday or Saturday and say, hey, you think you could play this hymn? Okay, just a couple sentences here before we do the hymn. Paul tells us that we can learn from Psalm. Did you catch that? from psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you have Christian radio stations tuned in on your radio in your car? If not, why not? Did you know that there's Christian radio on cable TV? You're paying for it already. If you're listening to something else, do that with some discernment. Okay, so this hymn is called Higher Ground. I'm almost ready, Sherlyn. Okay. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Thank you. Paul explains this holy life to which we are called, to which Jesus has made possible. Preacher Maxie Dunham points out, note the emphatic underscoring of accomplished reality. It is a settled fact that we are dead with Christ. There is no question we are risen with him. We have died to all that Christ died to, and we are raised to all he was raised to. That's what we celebrate in our baptism. We now have to live out in practice what has already happened in fact. There are still remnants of our old selves that we need to shed. We can no longer walk. We can no longer live in the way we used to live. Paul uses a clothing example of taking off the old and putting on the new. Why should we take the dirty, smelly rags out of the hamper and put them on when instead they should be burned? Now, when I was in basic training for the Coast Guard, which these are my dog tags from the Coast Guard. So these are, I've lost track. Let's see, 75, 25, 45, 46 years old, right? Carol was ironing my shirt. She said, hey, you have any more stays? So I went and looked for stays and I found these. I had forgotten I even had them 46 years ago, right? My name, social security number, A positive for blood, in case you're wondering. And it says, I'm a prop, P-R-O-T. Protestant, that's right. Although I'm a lot more of a Protestant now than I was then, praise God. Right? Okay, so when I saw those, and I was going to mention the Coast Guard this morning, I just had to bring those on as a remembrance. So when I went to basic training for the Coast Guard, we were gathered into what was called a forming company. There were young men from all over the nation. Some were from the city, some were from the country. There were different colors and creeds. There were different levels of education. Some had long hair or maybe beards, and there was all different forms of dress. When everyone had arrived late in the afternoon, the first thing they did is they took us over the galley and they fed us. And then we were taken to the uniform shop and issued our new clothing, literally from head to toe, hats, shoes and socks, head to toe, belts, everything, right? And we had to take all of our civilian belongings and we boxed them up, addressed the box, dropped them at the post office and mailed them home, right? And then we slept in the same large barracks room. And after breakfast the next morning, we marched rather badly. We hadn't learned yet, right? Marched over to the barbershop where we were all given the same delightful haircut. The barber at the time, his name was Max for many years. And he used to ask him, and how would you like yours cut? And some guys would actually start to tell him. He just laughed. They all got cut the same way, all right? All of this was deliberately designed to create us anew. Our identity was going to be forever impacted. We still had our personality and our individuality, but our value system was to be shifted. Our loyalties were to be realigned. Our personal goals and missions would be consistent with the Coast Guard's. Our behaviors would be changed because our hearts and minds would be changed. We would learn skills appropriate for this new life in the Coast Guard. Certainly, you can see the parallels to the Christian community. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. It does not matter. It does not matter what we look like or the scars we wear. It does not matter where we came from or what baggage we left behind. What does matter is that we are image bearers of our mutual creator. It is the commonality of Christ that we share that is important, and it binds us together. Notice that what Paul gives us here for desired clothing closely resembles the fruit of the Spirit. And I challenge you to make a checklist from the scripture this week with two different columns, all right? In one column is all the things we need to put to death, to starve until they completely shrivel up. And the other column is all the things we need to nourish and grow. And when we do that, we are actually manifesting the life of Christ within us. Now, I've shared this before. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8 how to properly feed our spiritual nature. And when we do this, we will at the same time starve our ungodly tendencies. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I want you to print that scripture and put it someplace for a frequent reminder. Now, the deceiver is probably already whispering to you right now, why bother? That's not going to help. And I tell you, he is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Because we read in today's 10th verse, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Your mind plays a significant role in developing the embryonic Jesus within you. You get that? Your mind is important in your faith walk. Paul parallels this idea in Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a famous piece of scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is further supported by today's 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Our worship music should be instructing and reinforcing our faith journey. It should be coupled with serious Bible reading, study, and meditation. And through these activities and disciplines, they're called disciplines because it takes discipline to do them regularly, we learn the language of God, so that the Holy Spirit can strongly speak into our lives and communicate with our spirit. The Christian life requires the Holy Spirit. Now, it is telling and honest that Paul reminds us that we are to bear with each other. The obvious implications are that we are not perfect. Anybody perfect here? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. Okay, we're not perfect, and every one of us needs to make allowances for our Christian sisters and brothers, because you know what? They're making allowances for you. Each one of us is on a faith journey, growing into who Jesus has made possible. Living in community can be challenging. There will be failures and disappointments. We will fall short, sin, and cause pain for each other. Forgive. Be forgiven. Be people of grace. Why? The Lord forgave you. Our God is a God of grace. What is the overcoat of the new self we have put on? Love. Love binds all the Christian virtues together. Love never fails. Surely you've heard the expression, what's in a name, right? But did you know it comes from that famous love story, Romeo and Juliet, by William Shakespeare? Juliet bemoans that Romeo bears the last name of her family's sworn enemies. Names are important. There's great power in the name of God. Yahweh starts the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. And then he continues, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Paul closes the scripture on rules for holy living. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah tells us, you are among us, O Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. We bear the name of Christians after Jesus the Christ. Micah 4:5. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, little g, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Now today, our nation seems to have many little g gods that they are following. Even many people that profess Jesus seem to be stumbling along. Preacher Alexander McLaren said, "It's impossible to walk firmly if one foot be down in the gutter and the other on the curbstone." What is to be done? McLaren replies, "The only way to get rid of the evils engendered in the constitution of society is to elevate and change the tone of thought and feeling, and then they die of atrophy. Change the climate and you change the vegetation. Until you do, neither mowing nor uprooting will get rid of the foul growths." That's how most of our society is trying to cope with things. They're cutting the grass and the weeds, but never uprooting them. If you ever try to get rid of dandelions, you know you got to pull them out by the roots, right? But he goes on. He says, so the gospel does with all these lines of demarcation between men. Changes the climate. What becomes of the ridges of sand that separate pool from pool at low tide? The high tide comes up and over them and makes them all one, gathered into the oneness of the great sea. The gospel can transform our culture, but we need to share it, preach it, teach it, and model it. You ever hear that before?
Yeah.
Okay. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Psalm 9:10, which I read to you at the beginning of service. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. In small things or in large things, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whether it be pleasant or whether it be distasteful, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In public or in private, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. For he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Not praise you, but praise your Father in heaven. Now, Cheryl, you went to Grand Canyon a few years ago, right? Well, I haven't been there, but I read this online. Maybe you can tell me after service if it's right or not. But it said that they have an observation deck made out of glass. And I saw pictures of it. It allows you to experience God's creation in a whole new way. But you would not think about going out on it if it didn't have railings. At least I wouldn't, right? But think of those railings as rules for holy living. Because of them, your view and your walk bring you into a different realm. A related example, the Sears Tower in Chicago has a glass elevator. And as you are drawn towards heaven, your perspective is significantly enlarged. You see things from a higher plane. And part of the blessing is in the journey as you rise to the sky. When you have such an experience, when you can have such an experience, why would you settle for the conventional and mundane, stuffy elevator ride? Central to our scripture here are three simple words that are easy to overlook. Christ is all. Christ is all. you bear Christ's name. Christians, I ask you, I exhort you, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Holy and loving Father, we thank you for these rules for holy living. Lord, we know we are blessed to have them recorded for us. We are blessed to have the Holy Spirit to empower us to live them out. Lord, as we get our hearts ready to celebrate Holy Communion, I pray that we would be renewed and refreshed in this holy sacrament, that you would move within us, and that we would be motivated to be all that we can be in our Christian walk. Let us not be selfish or limited in what we offer up to you. For your rewards far outweigh anything we could offer. Lord, too many of us settle for a shadow of being a Jesus follower when we can walk right beside him each and every day. Give us a heart for the journey, a mind that understands and express our faith, and a spirit completely submissive to God the Holy Spirit. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.